I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to more Gabe Ramirez on 104.3 The Score.
What he said was the fact that he's versatile, and that's what they really like about him out there. Again, I keep mentioning the fact that they like to play him, and when they have three safety schemes and they have a guy who's a robber who sits about 10, 11 yards, he said he loved that because it gave him a lot of freedom to just be an athlete. And I think that's what Dennis Allen's going to want to do. Put him close enough to where he can be a factor against the run, have some free reign against the pass, and just use his instincts and athletic ability.
It's Lewis Riddick talking about Bears draft pick Dylan Thienemann. Of course, shout out to ESPN for that one. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 104.3 The Score. And, you know, NFL runs the world. And to the point where if you run a publication and you do mock drafts, what's the best way to get the most clicks? Do a mock draft of day two after round one finishes. You know what I'm saying? So I got two mock drafts in front of me, one from CBS Sports done by Josh Edwards, the other done by Matt Miller. I believe that's who did this one. Yeah, Matt Miller from ESPN. And if you want to be a little depressed, go through Matt Miller's. And if you want to feel a little optimistic, then go through Josh Edwards from CBS. The reason I say that is because when you go through Matt Miller's, it is like as you're getting closer to 57, you almost feel the anxiety building because majority of names that you were interested in start flying off the board, right? Because obviously the Bears pick 57 and 60th tomorrow. But, you know, Emmanuel McNeil Warren goes off the board first in these mock drafts to San Francisco. You got Tre'Davious Stoops. I'm talking about names that you've heard of as going through the mock draft over these. Caden McDonald, as you pointed out, they got him going 38 to Houston. TJ Parker, the edge from Clemson at 40. Colton Hood, another cornerback from Tennessee that was very impressive. Cassius Howell, edge from Texas A&M. All guys that are going, just flying off. Avion Terrell from Clemson, another cornerback. Jacob Rodriguez flies off the board. Then you see Zion Young going to the Detroit Lions. These are in the mock drafts. Going to the Detroit Lions, and you're like, damn, that these are guys that are right there in the 50s to be had. And then all of a sudden, you're like, oh, 57, Gabe Yakus. Nobody's going to be mad if you get Gabe Yakus from Illinois. No one. And then at 60, the Matt Miller's mock draft has the Bears taking Sam Hecht, center from Kansas State. So
that's, I would prefer Slaughter.
You would prefer Slaughter? See?
He's probably the better one.
You should do a mock draft and put it on 6-7 The Score. And then
did you? I know this is like out of left field. Did you see Kyle Hamilton's tweet about the mock drafts?
No.
So he said along the lines of like, you know how you make March Madness brackets?
Yeah.
He said that in the same fold, people should make who makes the best mock draft or most accurate with all the trades involved, yeah, all the picks correct, because everybody puts out a mock draft and it's always 100% wrong. It's
100%
always
100% wrong.
The same with March Madness brackets. So like they should have like competition whose mock draft is the most accurate going into the draft.
And the other thing too, and I know I'm going to deal with this later today on the Chicago Lead and the Big Pro Football Show. Clay Harbor, who I give, almost cursed, I give crap to all the time. He is going to say, I told you the Bears were going to draft Dylan Thienemann. Here's the problem with that. You also, you did six mock drafts and you told me six different players. So, you know what, that's why you're laughing, because you know what I'm talking about. So, all these guys.
Did he pick Dylan as one of them though?
Yeah, of course he did. Dylan Thienemann was one. Then the next one, the next day was Emmanuel McNeil Warren. It's like Brad Biggs, you know, did a couple, but you got to switch it up. And so, excuse me. So you're able to say that, you chose the guy that got drafted, but you also did six mock drafts. So that's the problem there. For Josh Edwards from CBS Sports, you know, he has same players, but just different order, to your point, Grant, about where guys are going. You know, he has Emmanuel McNeil Warren going 39 to Cleveland. Of course, if they are able to secure him, they'll have themselves a hell of a draft. But you got to go all the way down. T.J. Parker going to Indianapolis at 47. So you're missing out on guys in the present. But then he has the Bears at 57 going with, guess what? Gabe Yakus. Another guy. So they have him pegged immediately for that. You know what that means? Bears aren't getting him. If too many people say it, that's not happening. And then on pick 60, oddly, he has, which this one throws me off, Mike Washington Jr., a running back.
He's pretty good.
From Arkansas.
He's mocked as like the third, the fourth best running back, but he's pretty good.
Washington's, the comps here says, yeah, I mean, damn, I didn't expect that. But it says Washington's a bigger body who doesn't sacrifice explosion. He's a contributor in both the run and the pass game, but the physicality is essentially in Ben Johnson's offense. That's interesting. Would you be thrown off if the Bears got a running? Yes.
Well,
the answer is yes.
Who's a physical running back that we thought the Bears were going to have going into last season, but they didn't?
Roschon Johnson.
Yeah. And that could be the replacement.
Damn, but if you're telling me you got a third string running back, or you know what I mean? I'm going to be pissed.
But if he produces, then you're like, love they got him.
And I'll wait. Right. Did you see that mashup of fans crapping on like the best players that they drafted,
like Bills fans like overreacting about Josh Allen being drafted, Chiefs fans about Patrick Mahomes.
This is why we never win it. We'll never win a Super Bowl because we make draft picks like this. That guy, oh my god, that guy got me feeling like an idiot after that, but in the best way possible. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what ends up happening if that ends up being the case and the Bears take the running back. But Jesus, that would be devastating. I think I'd feel that way. But what does it sound like when you are drafted by the Chicago Bears 25th? You're going to be an immediate starter, and you had a hell of a camp, and you're sitting here saying, now I get to be a member of the Chicago Bears. We get to hear from Dylan Thienemann, the 25th pick, safety out of Oregon, and his level of excitement for joining a Chicago Bears team who certainly needs him on the defensive side of the ball, and the city needs him to perform at a high level. Here's Dylan Thienemann talking to the Chicago media.
Hey, Dylan. Welcome to Chicago. Congratulations. What was your pre-draft process like with the Bears, getting to know Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson, and what do you know about the franchise before that?
So my pre-draft process, really at the combine, I had a formal with them that went really well. I feel like I really connected with all the guys there. And then I hadn't talked to them too much, but I knew that they had a lot of interest in me. So that was kind of most of the conversations that we had. And I mean, I know a little bit about the Bears history. Like, I grew up not too far away from Chicago. So I know a decent amount there.
Dan?
Dylan, how do you kind of recap your interception against Penn State and kind of what that was as a signature moment for you?
That moment, I think, was just incredible. Like, the way to seal the game like that was amazing, and just do it for the team. We've been talking about that same play from like a defensive aspect, like the play call, and then that offensive formation. Like, we've repped both of those together in practice, and for it to show up in the game, just how the coaches kind of predicted, was amazing.
You've talked about kind of your recognition being a strength of yours. How do you strengthen that over the course of your playing life, and how did it get to the level it's at now?
Really just when I keep improving my process and my preparation, like how I watch film and taking notes, writing stuff down. So I had two separate notebooks. So I had a notebook just for opponent scout, and I had a notebook where I wrote everything down. So I write everything in one notebook, and then I would kind of compile it and what I needed to study, what I needed to know in another one, so I could study that before the game.
Kevin.
Hey, Dylan, congratulations. A lot of the coaches have talked about your versatility. How did you kind of hone that, and what are all the different positions you kind of can see yourself helping out the Bears in?
Well, I mean, at Purdue, I played mostly in the post, so I was playing free safety there. But then Oregon, we played field and boundary. And in Oregon's defense, you're asked to do literally everything. So, I mean, I'm rolling down in the box. I'm rotating different cover threes. I'm playing the half. I'm playing quarters. So I got really comfortable playing a lot of different coverages and different positions. So I really good playing field, and then I could play boundary. So doing those, and then I cross trained nickel in the off season too. So I felt pretty comfortable moving between all those positions because I knew everything on the back end.
Courtney.
Hey, Dylan, the Bears have made a pretty big emphasis this offseason by adding speed to their defense. I know you ran a 4.35 30, so like two-part question here. Was that the time that you, was that a goal time? Was that faster than you expected? And what do you think this speed can do to bring, how do you feel like you can bring your speed to the NFL and how it translates to the NFL game?
Going into the combine training, I set a goal of being 4.3. And then to go out there and do that kind of surpassed even my expectations at that point. Like I knew in my heart I was going to get 4.3, but I didn't know what exactly it would be. And I feel like speed is very, very interesting because there's normal speed and then there's game playing speed. So the more you can process and recognize, the faster you can play in game closer to your true speed.
Sean?
Hey, Dylan, congrats. I'm wondering if you could just kind of take us through tonight. What is this whole experience like being there and hearing your name?
It's been incredible. I mean, it's a once in a lifetime moment. So I'm very glad that I came here and got to experience that with the family and the other people that have helped me get to this point.
Josh.
Yeah, sure. I was just wondering how familiar you are with Dennis Allen and how you view yourself as a playmaker, as a ball hawk in the secondary.
I'm not super familiar with Dennis Allen, but I'm sure we'll get to know each other quite well. And then in the backhand, and just really, if I can utilize my speed, I can go get that ball.
Dion.
Hi, Dylan. Welcome. We're excited to have you. You mentioned just taken to go from Purdue and out to Oregon. Like, how do you feel like you're prepared to take this NFL step and ready to kind of hit the ground running?
I feel like making the leap to Oregon was kind of preparing me for the next level already. Like I'm going to a new place, new coaches, new scheme, new environment. So I'm kind of used to that change and I know how to make it and what works for me and what doesn't. So I'm kind of able to grow from that last experience and I think hit the ground running.
Last two, Dan.
Dylan, two quick ones. What's the chain you got on and who gave that to you?
We got the Bears chain and then someone in the crowd gave it to me when I went out and took a pic with the fans.
Okay. Also, I know you've referenced Polamalu as a guy that you looked up to. What drew you to his game when you were younger?
Really his versatility. And I liked watching some of his interviews. Like if he knew where the ball was going, he would go switch positions with that player so that he could be in on a play so he could have an impact for the team. So just having that knowledge of the defense, but then also the understanding of what the offense is trying to do.
Last one, Courtney.
Dylan, really quick, back to your speed. Have you always been fast? Is this something that like as a kid you realized like I'm just faster than everybody else? Is it something you had to really work on?
I have always been fast, but I feel like it's really kind of picked up being in college. I know my brothers would joke. I used to like race down the driveway all the time, like racing them or racing like the car on the way home from school, like some of that stuff.
Dylan Thienemann talking to the media about his Bears chain that he's wearing. You see somebody in the front and right there had it on. Looks like he gave it to him. I love it. I love it. I love intelligent players. I love guys that are well-spoken. I love good communicators. It's not only good for the team, but I think when you're looking at the roster construction and who's come into the fold over the last couple of seasons, it's pretty similar guys. You look at Braxton Jones, very intelligent, articulate, Roma Dunze, Caleb Williams, Darnell Wright. I mean, there are guys there that, you know, fit a particular mold you can tell that Ryan Poles is looking for. And, you know, we actually had right after the draft, we had immediate reaction. Rami Makhlouf and Ant Heron were doing some deep dives onto it. I want you guys to take a listen to what Ant was saying about Dylan Thienemann, because obviously he has a different perspective. He went to the University of Iowa, played at a high level there, covered the Big Ten, so saw him at Purdue. So here's Rami and Ant discussing Bears first-round pick Dylan Thienemann.
Let's see who it is. We're heading out to Pittsburgh. Roger Goodell headed to
the
podium.
With the 25th pick in the 2026 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Dylan Thienemann.
There it is.
Defensive back, Oregon.
That's again. It was a clean sweep before the pick, and as we went around the horn and said who we would like to see them take. Just a quick rundown of Dane Brugler's sort of write up on Dylan Thienemann: 1 year starter at Oregon, a productive post safety at Purdue for 2 seasons, transferred to Eugene for his junior season, earned a 2025 All America nod for the Ducks with both of his interceptions, clinching victories late in the game, collected more than 300 combined tackles in 3 college seasons, averaged 7.9 tackles per start. Open field athleticism, says Thielemann, has a lot to offer in the NFL because of his versatility, making plays over the top, in coverage, or downhill versus the run, shows impressive range and anticipation from the deep half of the field, as well as the intelligence to understand what opponents are trying to do. Although he doesn't always play up to his testing numbers, he can guard both sidelines and sort through routes. He can clean up some things in the run game too. He has a nose for the ball and doesn't hesitate flying to the contact point. That sounds like exactly what the Bears needed in that secondary, Ant.
This is exciting. This is a really exciting draft pick for Ryan Poles for the Chicago Bears. I can only imagine what that war room at Hallis Hall looked like, how it exploded as more and more picks came off the board leading to this particular player being available to them, because I do think he suits exactly what the Chicago Bears are going to be looking at the safety position opposite Kobe Bryant. And as much as I've covered literally every game of Dylan Thienemann's career, the 2 years he spent at Purdue, the 1 year he spent at Oregon, he is a Big Ten safety, so I've seen what he's done at a really high level. You go back to him being the Big Ten Freshman of the Year back in that season at Purdue. Ryan Walters was his head coach, and at that time, he had Dylan Thienemann playing as kind of a center fielder, like a deep safety, and that's where all those interceptions came back in his freshman season 3 years ago. And year by year, his role continued to be tweaked and adjusted. Second season at Purdue, you know, sometime at strong safety, sometime in the box. Here at Oregon, this past season, he was utilized in that Dan Lanning defense, Tosh Lapoy's defensive coordinator, but it's Dan Lanning's defensive scheme that they were running, and he was moving around quite a bit. He spent some time at the second level, spent some time deep, did a lot more stem and disguise than we had seen at either point in his previous seasons of his college football career, and also a player that, being only 3 years removed from high school, you can just tell he's learned more and more about the sport of football, more and more how to play defense at the major college level every year he's been doing it. I actually comp him with Kevin Byard, the player who the Bears just moved on from because he's on the other side of 30, but no player in the National Football League has had more interceptions than Kevin Byard during the time he's been here. He was such a key cog in the Bears' success that they had last season. When you look at Dylan Thienemann, he's 6 foot. He's over 200 pounds. He's versatile. He's a sure tackler. He's not the thumper that some of the other safeties in this draft cycle are, but he is a physical football player. He tackles with urgency, which I really like to see that. He will continue, I think, to get even more formidable with the way that he's able to run the alley and attack the line of scrimmage. So his style of play, not only does he have the awareness and sort of the field generalship that he showcased this past season in Eugene playing safety for the Ducks, but he's going to continue getting better as a guy who's 3 years removed from high school. And the testing numbers being off the charts, it just ended up assuring everybody that what they were seeing on film is really legit for what it can project to at the NFL level.
Yeah, and you talk about the combine numbers, and we've heard a lot throughout the offseason that one of the main priorities on the defensive side of the ball was adding some speed. This guy ran a 4.35 40, yeah, at the combine, and he definitely brings that speed that Dennis Allen and the Bears want on the defensive side of the ball.
And even when you're comparing him, whether you're talking Emmanuel McNeil Warren or even Caleb Downs, these safeties who are projected as first round picks, none of them throughout their career have shown as a playmaker the sideline to sideline range that Dylan Thienemann has shown he can do. He can be a guy, if you just want to line him up deep as a center fielder, as a single high guy, as a free safety, and just let him stay back there and look for passes to pick off. He can do that at a really high level. He plays with anticipation, and the ball skills are what are really off the charts for Thienemann. There's a pass that I was just breaking down across the street at Fox 32 before I came over here, where one of the strongest arm quarterbacks in college football this past season was Penn State's Drew Aller. And in an overtime game against Penn State, Drew Aller was trying to throw just a pass up the sideline to his tight end who had snuck out of the backfield. Dylan Thienemann eyeballs that, begins to run the alley, presses the line of scrimmage, and then recognizes Drew Aller's going up the sideline at the last moment, stops his feet, flips his hips, and Aller's trying to throw a dart just over the hands of Dylan Thiedemann. Thiedemann goes up and is able to high point the football on a pass with a lot of velocity from about 20 yards away. But those types of ball skills from any defensive back, let alone from a safety, are rare, are unique. And so that showcases just the most recent version of the playmaker that Dylan Thiedemann showed himself to be in college football. And so he's not 6'4", he's not 220, but he is a player who tackles with urgency, and he is a player who's shown he can make plays on the football as a pass defender at as high a level as anyone in this draft cycle.
I really like the pick and the ball hawk element of it, because 23 of the 33 turnovers that they got last year left in free agency. So I think you needed somebody who sort of had a nose for the football.
Rami Makhlouf and Anthony Heron talking about Bears draft pick Dylan Thiedemann. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 104.3 The Score. Of course, coverage going to be continuing all day long. 5 o'clock, the pregame show begins with our guy, Dustin William Rhodes. Going to be handing it off to Mullenhaw after that. Mullenhaw, they got some great guests for you today. Of course, they got Brad Biggs, 7 o'clock, who had his own fair share of mock drafts that he was talking about. They also got Coach Wonstadt, who's going to be jumping on at 8 o'clock with Mullenhaw. And I'm sure they're going to have some other people in their own takes as well. About Dave's going to be over the moon. Over the moon excited that the Bears got Thiedemann. And then actually David, myself, and Ruthie Polinsky will be on the Chicago lead later on tonight. 5:30 today. We'll be actually broadcasting live from Guarantee Rate, where the White Sox try to continue to stay hot after beating up on the Diamondbacks yesterday. And so, yeah, we'll be broadcasting live from the Rate. I'm sure we'll be talking about, you know, first round picks and then looking into what the second round could hold for the Chicago Bears. But all day long, Raheem Harrison Grody also got you covered. They got Clay Harbor at 11, Herb Howard at 1. So, again, all day long on The Score, we're going to get you covered. Don't go anywhere else. Everything is happening right here with all of our insiders. Chris Emma will be joining on and jumping on as well to talk about some stuff. So, again, all day long, we got you covered. But it ends up happening. I'm curious your thoughts, Chicago. You, listening right now at your job, riding around Uber, dropping off your baby mama back at the crib, and now you're going home. I'm curious what your thoughts, Dylan Thiedemann. You wanted an edge the whole time, and you got a safety. But the safety's good. I mean, so Anthony Heron and I, we have a unique relationship, right? Him and I, we used to do a TV show called Bears Unleashed together on Fox 32. And I really respect his football acumen, right? Because he was an executive as well in the Indoor Football League, Arena League. You know, he played at Iowa, you know, had some times and some camps in the NFL. But when he says vehemently that he covered Dylan Thiedemann every single game for his entire career for the, you know, at Purdue and Oregon in the Big Ten, and when he talks, he can speak on him in a different way. He's scouted the man. He's watched him play in these games. He's seen what an impact he's made for his teams. And so for Ant, I'm sure, I'm going to text him later. I'm sure for Ant to see Dylan Thiedemann and be a member of the Chicago Bears, where we're all excited as fans to say, oh, wow, the second best safety in the draft fell all the way to the Bears. That's just, we're looking at his ranking, right? Emmanuel Acho said he's a top five prospect. So, but for you to have seen him at game in and game out and then get him on your team that you cover, oh my God. I mean, I can't even imagine. Ant must be so elated. So I'm glad we had an opportunity to listen to that. But I'm curious your thoughts. 312-644-6767. Is Dylan Thiedemann going to be the steal of the draft in your mind? And the Bears still have multiple picks on day two. I'm curious what positions you want them to address. Again, 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you. Your call's on the other side right here on 104.3 The Score.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with a Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to more Gabe Ramirez on 104.3 The Score.
Well, he was asked to do a lot, and he did it with A-plus effort, right? And you're right. I mean, I think part of the hard part about the portal is building trust with your teammates, right? And building trust with the coaching staff. And he was immediately that guy from the beginning of the season, and you saw him continue to grow throughout the year in the roles that he was given in that defense. Again, I'll mention again, he played basically middle linebacker for us in our defense a lot of times. He would play man coverage. He'd play the deep safety. I mean, the versatility he showed this season was very impressive for, to your point, like first year in this defense. And Oregon's defense is very multiple. They're not showing you the same thing play after play. You're getting a different look almost every play. So I think it bodes well for the NFL, right? He obviously is very bright. He got the leadership of his and trust of his teammates immediately, and that'll play well when he gets to the Bears locker room.
Jeff Schwartz, former NFLer, Fox Sports analyst, giving his take on Dylan Thienemann, the 25th pick in the draft for your Chicago Bears. He will be a starting safety in this league, and hopefully he can make a big impact on your Chicago Bears in his first season. High character individual, very versatile, can play both safety positions, can also play the nickel. And as you just heard Jeff mention, he was somewhat of a – it's so funny because everyone's giving him different positions. Like they're like, yeah, you know, he was kind of like a middle linebacker for us. Anthony Heron was like, yeah, he kind of played center field. It's like, wait, none of these are safety. Is he playing safety too? Of course he is, at a high level. And again, curious your thoughts on the Bears draft pick. I know you're happy, but how excited are you that Dylan Thienemann is going to be contributing to this Bears team? How do you feel about this Bears defense with the addition of Dylan Thienemann to operate alongside Kobe Bryant? I mean, it's a hell of a secondary, if you ask me. I mean, I know I have a fan's bias in there, but Tyrique Stevenson, Jalen Johnson on the outside. Kobe Bryant, Dylan Thienemann up the middle. I love it. I love it. Birdman, rub hands right there. Like, I'm loving that right there. And especially because of the impact that it's going to have on this team, especially defensively. You know, you go and look at some of the stats from last year, and it is jarring. The Bears gave up the second most plays of 20-plus yards in the league. To try to give you a range of what that looks like, first in the league was the Vikings. They gave up the fewest 20-plus yard plays at 32. Okay, 32. That's they're first. The Bears were second to last in the league and gave up 61, almost double. And a lot of that, obviously, you remember last year, Bears got beat over the top quite a bit, you know. And whether it was the play of the safeties where they were getting beat over the top because maybe they're a bit too aggressive, or the Nashawn Wrights getting beat over the top, the Tyrique Stevensons, obviously with the hodgepodge of cornerbacks, with Jalen Johnson being out, Jalen Johnson himself trying to come back from his own injury. But that's a jarring statistic right there. You know, if you're getting beat 20 yards 61 times and you're second to last in the league, it does say a lot about your safety position, because that's your last line of defense. When it comes to 40-plus yards plays, Bears sitting at sixth worst in the league with 9, which is a ton. Completion percentage, and I know that safeties are not necessarily, you know, affecting that as much, but the Bears, you know, top 10, you know, in the top lower third of the league, giving up a completion percentage of 67%. I mean, damn, if Caleb Williams was, you know, just going up against the Bears D, maybe that's the issue right there. So there's things in that nature. Then when you're looking at rushing, I know you think back to last season and how many, you know, rushing yards were given up by the Chicago Bears team. Again, sixth worst in the league, giving up over close to 2,300 yards on the season. you're looking at, you know, then these are areas where you feel like Thieneman can help out, right? When you're talking about this, they gave up 13 rushes for over 20 yards. Again, bottom third in the league. When you're looking at, you know, 40 yards rushes, bottom third in the league, you know, sixth worst in that category. So there's a lot of things that you can point to say where you feel like Dylan Thieneman can make an immediate impact on this team. I mean, if you're looking at, you know, interceptions, obviously we know there what we were thinking, but again, in the receive, I mean, when you're looking at even just receiving yards given up, Bears bottom third in the league, giving up over 4,000 yards on the season. You know, it's just, man, it's tough, but you love the impact that he's able to make. Some text messages coming in. Phone lines are open. You can chime in as well. 312-644-6767. Again, Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 104.3 The Score, leading you right into the pregame show with Dustin Rhodes. Then, of course, that leads you right into Mully and Hall. They're going to have Brad Biggs at 7. And then Coach Wonstadt's going to hang out with them at 8 o'clock. Curious what he's going to have to say about Dylan Thieneman and the impact he's going to have on this Bears team. 773, got a bunch of 773 people here. You know, I got to be honest, there's a little bone to pick. I hate when, not hate, but it as a Chicagoan, it kind of feels silly when people are reading the text line and they're like, from 773, it's like, everybody's from 773. We're all from, you know, like, that's, you know.
Yeah, but in Chicago, we have like 10 different area codes.
Yeah, but the majority of them are going to be from 773.
And 847.
Yeah, but the majority of them are going to be, like, when you're thinking about Chicago, you're thinking about 773. And then, so I guess what I'm saying is, I think they should say the last four digits of the number. You know?
I don't think, is that legal?
Yeah, who knows? There's still seven other digits. Like you just said, there's 10 other area codes that it could be from. Nobody's going to
look this up.
Punch that in. 9549, that's what I'm going to say. So that the person knows I'm talking directly about them. Says, what up, Gabe? Just wanted to let you know. Super cool to hear you again on The Score right now. Yeah, you know. If Grant would be able to work overnights, I might do more shifts for you. if Sean was still here, we might have some more overnight shifts on there. Sean's my boy. Hey, Grant. Sean's my boy, so I can say that.
All right. Well, he's my boy, too, but I wasn't going to say that.
He'd laugh if he was. He'd probably laugh if he's listening right now at home.
He's probably asleep.
Damn. Now, see, I didn't say that. I didn't say that one. excuse me. 6583 says linebacker Jacob Rodriguez. Do we got to trade up now for him, or will he be available at 57? If so, trade Bajan to Arizona for an extra second. First of all, love that. I love that idea because I think they're trying to say Carson Beck. I think, wait, let me see. If I was looking at Matt Miller's mock draft for round two that he just dropped today, yeah. Arizona, 34, Carson Beck. They got him taking him. So, I mean, damn, would you rather have Carson Beck or Tyson Bagent?
Tyson Bagent, because he's played in the league and Carson Beck hasn't.
It's a great point.
They're both. I think they're generally both the same age, which is crazy because Carson Beck stayed in college forever.
We know Carson Beck's a little bit richer. we know that from NIL deal.
Hey, I mean, Tyson just got his contract too.
That's actually a great point. What am I talking about? Tyson just got paid. It's a $10 million deal. But I love that idea. I love that idea because you're right. Tyson Bagent has had reps in the NFL. And if you are able to trade with Arizona, I mean, you might have to give up like maybe your third rounder. Like third rounder and Tyson Bagent for the number 34 pick. But if you go number 34, who are you taking there? Caden McDonald? TJ Parker?
Nah, I want to go or Hood. Yeah. Like those guys are good.
I would love Colton Hood right there. Yeah, if you want to, he has to be an impact player if you're going to trade up to 34. Like it has to be an impact player. So that's a great take though. I love that idea. And then Jacob Rodriguez, I'm trying to think where he's like in the field. There we go. He's going to 10 in the mock drafts because they just dropped the mock drafts after the first round with Beth.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
It's available players. So, yeah, Jacob Rodriguez, they got him going in the 40s. Who's going to be a stud? And I wouldn't put it past the Bears to get a linebacker. But
Zion, I don't know how quickly TJ Edwards is going to return. So
I know. And his state, and his, when he was talking on the podium earlier this week, you know, he said he'd be ready. Said he'd be ready by the summer. I just don't know. That's tough. Fibula injury coming back. I mean, I know I think it's a contract year for him as well. So he's going to want to be available in the very beginning. But I do think the Bears end up drafting someone at in later rounds at the linebacker position. Zion Young, someone that, oh my God, I felt like hundreds of mock drafts were pegging him to be connected with the Chicago Bears. He's still available. So I don't know. I think we're the...
Here, I'll read out some names for you. I want you to say who you like the best round number two. So you got Jared McCoy, and you also got Colton Hood, both cornerbacks from Tennessee. Yep. Zion Young, edge rusher from Missouri. Caden McDonald, defense tackle from Ohio State. Mm-hmm. You got Terrell, cornerback as well from Clemson. And then you got the Emmanuel McNeil Warren, safety from Toledo, who's not going to be picked by the Bears, obviously, because they did. Eli Stowers, I know they lost Smythe this past year, so maybe adding him. I don't know if they're going to do it in the second round, but maybe later on. He's probably the best available tight end right now. But then also Denzel Boston from Washington, wide receiver. That's an intriguing one I think the Bears could maybe look at.
Yeah, I got to be honest. It's interesting because when you mention all these names, these are names that more than likely are going to be off the board come 57. So whereas at pick 25, I thought the Bears would have a handful of players, especially since they were saying that they were going to go best player available, that there will be a handful of players that they'd like, and so the possibility of trading down would exist. But you get Dylan Thienemann because he's still available. I don't know if the Bears are going to have that same luxury come 57 where there's going to be a handful of guys with high grades are still available.
How about Zachariah Branch? I know he had trouble with the law, which could drop his stock. He's like somebody like Mike Green last year, who was projected like a top 10 pick, fell all the way to the second round, like deep in the second round to the Ravens last year because of that legal issues. He could fall as well because of those issues as well. And the Bears could, you know, slide in right there because I know they do need receiver help as well.
The Bears need to be live streaming, you know, like Kai Cenat, like I Show Speed, you know, just like a 24-hour stream with like they have I forgot her name, Jasmine Baker maybe is her name. They have a new, you know, reporter that does in-season reporting. She could be streaming live. I think people would be tuned in. You know, you got Ryan Poles pop up. He's sleeping in his cot. She goes up to him. She's like, oh, what's going on? Throws water on him. Oh my God, what are you doing? Like, I think you could have some real good content. And I'm selfishly saying that because I want to get a sneak peek at the board. That's why I'm saying it. I want a sneak peek at, you know, because the fact of the matter is, if you look at the names, it's going to be like any other mock draft. It's just names on a board. You can't, the Bears can't dictate who's going to be available for them. So if you have 10, 12 names on a board, I'm curious who those names are. You know what? You know what I would even like? I would even like just to see a number associated with a position. So if it's like cornerback, 3, we still like, you know, center, 2 that we really like, you know, the edge, there's 3, you know, I would love to see that number just so I can understand, you know, what. It's one thing for us as Bears fans to feel like we understand what need is there for the Chicago Bears, but it's another thing for the Bears themselves to kind of point that out. So I don't know. Maybe I can put in a phone call and see if I can get Kai Cenat. Nah, I don't know. That's terrible. But it's a good thing to think about. Even the first round, give me some live streaming. I don't want cameras and recaps on things. And I understand the sensitivity of the information, but it's 2026. Let's be real. People want all this stuff. But I listen to all those names, Grant, and I look at who both of these mock drafts have the Bears taking at 57 with Gabe Yakus. And, you know, we've done it on the Chicago lead. We had him there at 57 going to the Bears. I think the Bears wouldn't hate having that draft pick. So all that to say, the initial train of thought for me was, will the Bears trade up to get someone since they won't have the same luxury they had in 25 with a handful of guys that they want being there? So if your new handful of guys will all be gone by the time 57 happens, you know, because you got Thieneman already, are you more inclined to trade up? I don't know.
I mean, they do have three picks in the top 100. That's maybe they saying. Can combine, you know, maybe a fifth round pick with one of those top 100 picks and maybe get like a Colton Hood or maybe even like an Eli Stowers if they want to go tight end or Denzel Boston. So
why are we so invested in the draft? Because I am. I'll be very frank. I am. I had so locked in.
I had a friend text me. I asked him, I was like, you watching the draft? And he goes, no. It's like, why would I watch that? I was like, the draft is the best non-sporting event you could watch. It's got so much drama. It's got so many storylines. It's got so many just like pipe bomb drops that just happen the day of or like the day before. Trades. Yeah.
And everyone has the potential to be, you know, a pro bowler or, you know, to change your team. I mean, I was just looking at the draft board for the Jets, right, where they get David Bailey first, Sadiq, the tight end, and then they pull around with Cooper, the wide receiver. Hell of a draft. Hell of a draft on both sides of the ball in the first round. But you don't know. You know, like...
A lot of people are hating the Sadiq pick.
I love the Sadiq. He's going to be an impact
player. The only reason is because they had drafted Mason Taylor last year.
So what? As you learn, the 12 personnel is running rampant in the NFL.
It's like when David Montgomery joined the Lions and everybody was upset that they drafted Jameer Gibbs. Exactly. Like, why are we drafting a running back 12? Well, it's because he's a dang good running back.
And that's why the Arizona Cardinals went out and drafted Jeremiah Love at number 3. Because the Detroit Lions came back and proved like, hey, no. It's okay to take running backs that are really, really good early if they're going to be impact players. Let's go to listen to some analysis on our guy, Dylan Thieneman. Again, phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. If you got some thoughts on the newest safety and member of your Chicago Bears, would love to hear from you. Do you think he's going to be a steal of the draft? Would love to hear that. Maybe his potential and how much better are you feeling about this Bears defense? But David Syverson was on with Mullion Haw yesterday, talking about Dylan Thieneman and whether or not you should pass up on a defensive end if he's available.
That's the name that's circled on my sheet right now as I talk to you guys. If there's one player that I would pass on defensive line for, it's Dylan Thieneman. And there is a shot that you're going to get. Trust me, do you want to see him in Minnesota twice a year for the next 10 years? You know, you absolutely want to get in front of those guys. And if you have to sell a future one for him, you're probably going to get into the 13, 14, 15 range if you actually did that, especially for some of those teams like the Jets that are trying to get as much capital in next year's draft as possible. That's one of the guys I would do it for because he is that kind of player. He's one of the most versatile. I have him and Caleb Downs like 1A, 1B. Everyone wants to put Caleb Downs and anoint him as the second coming because Nick Saban liked him 3 years ago. Dylan Thieneman, this guy makes more plays on the ball. He's just as good as a tackler. I actually like his tackling a little bit better. He's a little bit bigger. I think that it would be a great move for the Bears and kind of solidify the back end of that defense.
David Syverson talking to Mullion Haw, and I want to play that back to back to back. Bears should trade up. Give up some draft capital to go into the teens to get Dylan Thieneman. Nope. Available for you at 25. Neck and neck with Caleb Downs, a better tackler? Huh? Love that. That should be in rotation all day today on The Score. It is Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 104.3 The Score. Again, leading you in to the pregame show with Dustin Rhodes. Then Mullion Haw got you covered after that. They'll have Brad Biggs on at 7 and then Coach Wonstadt on at 8 o'clock. And then tomorrow, Saturday, for those of you that think today is yesterday still, you can join the Illinois Lottery and me, Gabe Ramirez, at the South Holland BP gas station at 951 East 162nd Street in South Holland. I'm going to be there from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., all right? And we're going to be celebrating Hot Wins from the Illinois Lottery. It's a brand new game that they got where they draw every 4 minutes, And the first 20 people to say get fired up, they're going to receive a free Hot Wins ticket and an Illinois Lottery swag bag. Must be 18 or older to play. Be smart, play smart. Game odds available at IllinoisLottery.com. That's going to be a good one. Anytime you can give people an opportunity to go ahead and win some money. Damn, what the?
That's all right. But free money is always good for everybody.
Of course, especially, I mean, you're going to be the first 20 people you get a free ticket. Could you imagine if one of those first 20 people that are there, I give them a free ticket and they walk away with like a grand?
You know, you remember that meme from SpongeBob where they invent like the new Krabby Patties and it's like color patties or something like that? I can't remember what it was called. That episode came out a long time ago. But they're getting interviewed by the TV and then SpongeBob's like, we didn't know what to do with the leftover money, so we just started giving it away.
Yeah, that's what they're going to be feeling like right there. But again, Saturday, 11 to 1, I'll be out there. I got another one of these in June, like early June. So we'll have a couple appearances from the Illinois Lottery. But if you're out there on the South Side, South Holland, BP gas station, 951 East 162nd Street in South Holland, come hang out with me. I'm going to be there chilling, talking Bears draft. You guys can pick my brain and I can pick yours in real time. All right, I want to play one more clip before we take a break. This one's from Brad Biggs, who actually mock drafted Dylan Thienemann to the Bears at 25 about a month ago.
I think some edge rushers could be gone. Some guys that might interest them could be off the board. I think in a tie, all things equal, draft grades very, very similar. I think they go defensive lineman over safety, especially considering the investment they made in Kobe Bryant. But that's a position you can't rule out at 25, a safety, because there is depth at the edge rusher position. And if they look at Dylan as the kind of guy who, and this guy could be a star for Dennis Allen, then why not? But I feel pretty confident it's going to be a pick that's made on the defensive side of the ball. Some people have wondered about left tackle. I don't think that's going to happen. The Bears haven't used a first-round draft pick on a defensive player since Roquan Smith was taken at number 8 in 2018. And then in the last two drafts, the top three picks by Ryan Poles were offensive players. Which was understandable. Like I think the model here for these teams that are trying to pick themselves up off the mat is to go out and get a quarterback, try to surround him with talent to see if he can be the guy and do it. And if he can, then you go from there. If not, you've got to, reboot and go through it all over again. So they're at the point now where they've got to try to build this thing out in other places. And I think that starts with the defense.
Brad Biggs talking to Mullion Hall there. And that was, of course, talking about his mock draft where he had Dylan Thienemann going to the Bears at 25. I think a lot of people just weren't realistically thinking he would still be available, not only because of the Vikings, but because of his status as the number two safety in the draft. And when you're thinking about the safety position in the NFL now, it's much more valuable than it's ever been. Not only because you need to be a run stopper, but with the, increased reception rate of tight ends, you got to have a safety that can kind of match up. And so the fact that Dylan Thienemann is now a member of the Chicago Bears says so much about the organization and this defense. But I'm curious your thoughts. Is Dylan Thienemann the steal of the draft? 312-644-6767. I want your phone calls to talk about the newest member of the Chicago Bears. And I want to know what positions you think the Bears should be addressing with their three picks on day two. Again, 312-644-6767. Your call's on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 104.3 The Score.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
to hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.